for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Or LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, September the 3rd, 1990. Last service of the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Reverend Joe Popel is the minister of the morning.
We had the privilege here 2 or 3 weeks ago to have young people from Brother Popel's church here for a week. And by young people, I mean young. They were, I believe, 6 or 7 through 12. We had 119 all together. And we had a glorious, glorious, they had, and we did too, time. Sister Propel and Crystal were part of the group. And Sister Propel was just amazed when she came in and found that that Irma and I were here. She knew they were coming up here, and she knew we were somewhere, but she didn't know that this was where she was coming to. And there were, I think, over 50-some of the young people. They're all under 12, received salvation, accepted the Lord Jesus. And then one night, they had a call for those who would like to receive the Holy Spirit, and there were 52 of them received the Holy Spirit. And they were laying all over this place. You see, that's one reason why we just have these chairs, you see, because when these groups come in, sometimes they take all the chairs away and they just sit on the floor. Or when something like this, they move the chairs back. And those kids were laying all over this place. And so some of them were praising the Lord, and some of them were prophesying. And that was just, and it went on way up into the night. Now that is not only true of the group that came from Brother Propel's church in Louisiana, but we've seen that happen. The Church of Christ, the Catholics. We had a most amazing thing here from a Catholic group. The Catholics come here, youth groups come here about 3 times a year and use this facilities. And we had the most amazing thing happen about 2 years ago, I believe it was. They had college kids here to train them. And one night the Holy Ghost fell in this place. And there was almost 200 of them here, and there was almost 50 of them that were prostrate all over this place by the power of the Holy Ghost. They were speaking in tongues, and we had Holy Roller religion that night. They were rolling on the floor. And about midnight, one of the priests came to me and said, "What are we going to do with them?" He said, "I never seen anything like this before in my life." I said, "Well, it's God." He said, "I know it's God, but what are we going to do with them?" Some of them were just plumb out. You could shake them, anything. It didn't faze them. They were gone with Jesus. And some of them were laughing, and they'd lay there a while, and then they'd just laugh. And they'd lay there, and they'd laugh. And then half a dozen or 25 more would start laughing with them. And about 1 o'clock, I was here, down here, and it was just, I didn't want to leave either, you know. And about 1 o'clock, I said, "Well, I think we better put those to bed that are still under the power of the Holy Spirit." I said, "Tell you what you do with them now. Get 2 of the big boys, get 1 under each arm, or the boys or the girls, and pick them up and take them up and just roll them in their bunks." And I said, "By morning," I said, "they'll be okay. And if they're not, well, they'll still be all right." He said, "Okay." That's what we'll do. So we got a couple of boys and several boys, and we got a boy on each side, and picked them up and carried them upstairs and rolled them into their bunks. And the next day, some of them said, we're asking, they said, what are we going to go home and tell our priest? And there was an elderly priest here. And he said, you just go home and tell what happened to you. He said, go home and tell. And that's so the presence of God dwells in this place, no matter who comes and uses it. Jesus is here to manifest his power and his glory. And it's just wonderful to be able to bring a testimony of what God does and is doing by his Spirit. Well, Brother Propel, you're supposed to be the speaker this morning. Come on up here and minister to us the word of the Lord. We just so appreciate the privilege of having you and your family with us at this time.
Well, I can tell it's kind of hard for Brother Miller to close down the camp meeting, can't you? We certainly do, my family and I certainly do love Brother and Sister Miller and appreciate them. And we appreciated being in this camp meeting. Appreciated our dear Lord Jesus and all the wonderful things that he has done. Amen. I just wonder how many people are here this morning who were healed in the meeting last night. If you raise your hand. Praise God. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I'm not going to ask you to give testimony, but we just praise God for what he has done. And this meeting this morning will not be a healing meeting as such, but that doesn't mean that you can't get healed. You can get healed just sitting there where you are. As I mentioned, I think that it was last night, maybe the night before, people have asked me at times what was the greatest miracle that I had ever seen the Lord do, and I really don't know. I don't know how you would separate the miraculous things which the Lord does. But it's all wonderful when the Lord does it. And I was in a convention with a full gospel businessman in New York City at the Hilton Hotel in 1970. And you were there too. I figured that you probably were, Brother Miller. And the Lord was performing miracles in this particular meeting. And one gentleman presented himself for prayer. He was a carpenter by trade. And he had sawed off the end of one of his index fingers. And he wanted prayer that the Lord would grow out his finger. Well, we prayed for him. And after prayer, I really don't know that I could say that I determined a change in his finger. But he said that he could tell a change. And that was what, you know, really counted, because he's the one who should have really known. And that was encouraging. You know, it's encouraging. Because if the Lord does a little bit, he can do more. And if he caused it to grow a little bit, he can cause it to grow more. He can cause it to grow out the rest of the way. So we continued to pray, and that's just exactly what happened. The Lord caused that man's finger to grow out with a creative miracle until it became the same length as the other finger. Several years after that, I was in a meeting in Westchester County, New York, and a medical doctor was emceeing this meeting. And this gentleman happened to be in the meeting who had this creative miracle in New York City. I didn't recognize him at first, but he identified himself as being the one who had received this creative miracle. And he showed the people his two index fingers. And they were the very same fingernail and everything. God had given him a creative miracle. I'm going to speak to you this morning for while on the subject of prayer. I really believe in prayer, and I not only preach prayer, but I have practiced prayer through my ministry. And in my earlier ministry, there was a time when I tried to stay on my knees 8 hours a day, because I kind of thought like this, that if a person could work 8 hours a day on a job, and my job was in the work of the ministry, that I could spend 8 hours a day on my knees. And there was a period of time when I tried to do that. Years ago, I was in a meeting in Silsbee, Texas, where a lady was pastor, Sister Busley, and I was fasting through that meeting and spending hours a day up on my knees. And one night, an elder lady presented herself for prayer who had never learned to read. She could not read. And she wanted to be able to read. And we prayed for her. I laid hands upon her. And she fell out under the power of God's Spirit, fell out on the floor. The next night, this dear lady came back to the meeting and told us about an unusual miracle which had happened in her behalf. The next day, she picked up her Bible, and without ever having learned to read, without being able to read any whatsoever, she was supernaturally and miraculously enabled to read the Word of God. That's a pretty wonderful miracle too, isn't it? So I just don't know, really don't know how you separate these miracles. I was in a meeting in Groves, Texas, a number of years ago, and there were some people who had formerly been Baptists, and they were coming to this full gospel church at the time, and they had a 10-year-old daughter, and she did not have a tooth in one space in the front part of her mouth, and the dentist told the parents that she would never have a tooth in that part of her mouth. She would never be able to grow a tooth in that part of her mouth. One had never come through, and they said she'd never have one. And her father came down to the front with her, and we prayed for her, and then they went back to the area where they were sitting. And after the meeting was over, my family and I went out to get something to eat with the pastor and his wife. The pastor was my wife's youngest brother. She has three brothers who are pastors of churches. And when we came back to his house after we had gone out to eat, right shortly after we got back, the telephone rang. And he picked up the telephone and just talked briefly to someone on the other end of the line, and then he handed the telephone to me. And it was these people whose daughter had been prayed for. And from the time that the 10-year-old girl was prayed for until they got home, a tooth had grown through the gum in her mouth, and they wanted to tell us about it. Well, our God is just so great and so mighty and so wonderful. And I just want to encourage you, because, you know, it's scriptural to lay hands on people to be healed, and we do that. But it's also scriptural for people to be healed by the power of the Word of God. God sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And when Brother Miller spoke to me last night, I didn't know that I was going to be speaking this morning, hadn't planned on that at all. And he just said that maybe I could speak on something. He didn't specify any particular thing, any particular subject which he wanted me to speak on, and I really didn't know what I was going to speak on, Brother Miller. And I was so tired last night after the meeting was over, but I began to just look to the Lord, and then I got up this morning and began to meditate and think about scriptures concerning prayer, and that's what I want to speak to you about, prayer. In the book of St. Luke, the 6th chapter, and the 12th verse, the scripture saith, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God." Now, the Lord Jesus didn't just go out and begin to preach and heal and cast out devils and perform the miraculous without having spent much time in prayer. The Lord Jesus realized the necessity of prayer, the value of prayer, and the power of prayer. And he gave himself to much prayer. This was just one of the many times when the Lord Jesus withdrew himself from the multitudes and from his close circle of disciples, and went out into a place of seclusion to pray, and continued all night in prayer to the Heavenly Father. Now the Lord Jesus was not only talking to the Father, but the Father was talking to Him. He was receiving instructions from the Heavenly Father. He was receiving spiritual power from the Heavenly Father. Now Jesus was not only the Son of God, but He was also the Son of Man. And Jesus, as the Son of Man, realized the necessity of prayer, the value of prayer, and the power of prayer. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, realized such value of prayer, such necessity of prayer, such power of prayer, then how much should we today realize the necessity of prayer? If we would follow our great example, the Lord Jesus Christ, then many times we would find ourselves in a place of seclusion, praying and waiting in the presence of God. Now, many times people seem to look on prayer as a mere obligation. They feel obliged to pray. But I don't just look on it as an obligation. It's an opportunity. There is value in prayer. There is power in prayer. I like to pray. I like to stay in the presence of God. Now, when we're praying, prayer is not just a one-way conversation. But prayer is a two-way conversation. Prayer is not only a time when we talk to God, but it is a time when we should listen for God to talk to us. It is a time when we meditate upon the glory of God, the power of God, and the ability of God. It is a time when we meditate upon the promises of God and allow these wonderful promises to become real in our spirit. And it is a time when our faith is inspired and tremendous things can begin to happen. It has been during a time of prayer that people have had revelations. During a time of prayer, people have had angelic visitations. People have had revelations from God. They've been inspired by God. People have heard the audible voice of God. And people have had their faith inspired so that they were enabled to rise up above their condition or their situation and overcome that problem regardless of what it was in particular. So we should value prayer. And I appreciate the gentleman here who has been leading the folks in the prayer meetings here every morning, because I'll tell you, without the prayer meetings, without prayer, without people getting alone with God in His presence and reaching out to God, we wouldn't see the results which we have seen in these meetings and which we hope to see and expect to see in the days to come. Can you say amen? So prayer is a very valuable part of the Christian life. And in the book of St. Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 5th and the 6th verse, the Lord Jesus was speaking to His disciples concerning prayer. The Lord Jesus had much to say about prayer. He taught much about prayer and instructed His disciples concerning prayer. And He said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets." They love to do that. They love to be seen of men, that they may be seen of men. "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So when we pray, it's not just a showtime. It's not a time when a person tries to show their spirituality. It's not a time when they just want to be seen and they want to impress someone. But the Lord said, go into your closet. Go into the secret place. Find a place of seclusion and get alone with God and pour out your heart unto the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord and the Lord will see you. The Lord will see your heart. The Lord will know your thoughts. The Lord will know your petition. And He honors that. And He answers that kind of prayer. And in the 7th verse, the Lord Jesus said, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they should be heard for their much speaking." Now, we're not heard for our many words and our much speaking. And sometimes some people may seem to think that they have to be saying something, or they're not praying if they're not saying something. But that is not true. There are different forms of prayer. There's a time when we talk to God. There's a time when we wait in His presence and listen for Him to talk to us. There's a time when we just meditate upon the greatness of God. There's a time when we may read the Word of God or hear the Word of God. And as we hear the Word of God, there is a prayer that is going up unto the Lord, and we're desirous to take hold of those wonderful promises which the Lord has promised in His Word. And Jesus taught the disciples concerning prayer in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. And in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 13th verse, the Lord Jesus said, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And He said, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." So the Lord Jesus said that when we pray, that we are to be desirous that the kingdom of God shall come and be manifested in our midst, and that the will of God shall be done in earth, in this physical life, even as His will is done in heaven. And in the book of Luke 18:1, the Lord Jesus spoke to the disciples and said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." Now, one reason why so many people have fainted spiritually and are fainting spiritually is because of their failure to pray. One reason why many people have been overcome with sickness and disease and circumstances of adversity, and they have been unable to deal with their situation in particular, one reason is because of their failure to pray. If more people would pray, fewer people would be fainting spiritually. More people would be stronger spiritually. More people would be able to cope with their situation if they would pray. There is power in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And in the book of James 5:16, the Scripture saith, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, or a righteous woman, or a righteous child, availeth much." Now, if we merely say a prayer with our lips, that kind of prayer is not going to avail much in the sight of God. If we merely pray a formal prayer, that kind of prayer is not going to avail much in the sight of God. But if we pray effectually and fervently from the depth of our innermost being, if we pour out our innermost being unto God, that is the kind of prayer that will avail much in the sight of God. That is the kind of prayer that will touch God and move God and will produce the supernatural and the miraculous in the behalf of an individual. And in the book of James 5:17-18, the Scripture saith, "Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, sometimes some people seem to think that Elijah and the prophets of old were some sort of superhuman beings, or that they were somewhat different from people today. But that is not true. The Bible declares that Elijah was subject to like passions as we are. He was subject to doubt. He was subject to fear. He was subject to frustration. And the Bible tells us that on one account, a woman put him to flight. But he was a man that believed in the power of prayer. And he was a man that exercised the power of prayer. And on many different occasions, he prayed, and the supernatural was manifested in answer to his prayer. The Lord just spoke to me concerning a person who has an ankle problem, and he will heal you sitting right there where you are if you will just accept it. That ankle problem, God wants to heal you. And there's a person who has a right shoulder condition, and the Lord wants to heal your right shoulder. And there's a person who's been suffering on the left side of your face, on your jaw area, and the Lord wants to heal your left jaw by the supernatural power of God. And the Lord says that if thou shalt believe, thou shalt receive, for behold, the Spirit of God is in the midst of thee, and yea, thou shalt see my power, and thou shalt know that it is I, and thou shalt know, saith God, that I am the healer. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, Elijah and the prophets of old were not superhuman beings. They were not greatly different from people today. But he believed in the power of prayer, and he exercised the power of prayer. And God manifested his supernatural many times in answer to Elijah's prayer. And on this particular occasion, Elijah prayed, and the Bible says that God shut up the heavens so that it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then Elijah prayed again for it to rain, but the rain did not come immediately. But he didn't stop praying. He didn't become discouraged. He didn't say, I'm going to throw in the towel. It hasn't happened. You know, some people may tell you that you should pray one time, and you shouldn't pray anymore. But Elijah prayed more than one time. Elijah continued in prayer. I don't see, personally, anything wrong with praying more than one time. Now, of course, if you receive it the first time, if your faith is inspired and you take hold of it, then, you know, there isn't any need to keep praying about it. Just begin to praise God, worship God, thank God for it. But if for some reason, maybe you haven't taken hold of it the way that you should have, I don't see any reason whatsoever why we shouldn't continue praying. Elijah just continued to pray. And he was really believing that it was going to rain, because he kept sending his servant out to look for rain. Kept sending his servant out. Time and time again, the servant came back and said, no, there's no sign of rain. There's no indication whatsoever from a physical standpoint that it's going to rain. The sky is as clear as a bell. No sign whatsoever. And perhaps the servant might not have thought that much was happening, because he certainly wasn't seeing anything happen. He didn't see any change whatsoever. And perhaps the servant might not have thought that much was happening because he certainly wasn't seeing anything happen. He didn't see any change whatsoever. But the prophet didn't stop. He just kept on praying with his face between his knees. Now, if the prophet had not really been believing that it was going to rain, then after a while, he would have stopped sending his servant out, lest he should have been more greatly embarrassed. But he really believed that it was going to rain, and he just kept praying with his face between his knees. After a while, the servant came back and said, well, there's a little cloud, but he said, it's not very big, though. It's only about the size of a man's hand. And perhaps that servant didn't think that that little cloud was ever going to amount to very much. And perhaps he certainly didn't think that it was ever going to become a rain cloud. But that was as good as the prophet Elijah would have. He arose and girded himself and prepared himself for the great torrential downpour, which was sure to come, and which, of course, did come. Now, if that were a lot of people today, They would want to feel the raindrops coming down upon their head before they would begin to believe that it was going to rain. I can't feel anything. I don't see anything. I don't see a cloud anywhere. But you know, Elijah didn't have to see anymore. He didn't have to feel anymore. He just arose and he knew that it was going to rain, and this torrential downpour came about in answer to Elijah's prayer. Now, if you have prayed, but you have not been able to see an answer as of yet, you have not seen a physical indication of your healing or of that thing in particular which you may have been praying about, and perhaps you've been praying for some time, maybe a long period of time, but you just haven't seen anything as of yet. And maybe the devil has spoken into your ears and told you that you're never going to be healed. Maybe somebody got healed. Maybe somebody came to that camp meeting and got healed, but you didn't get healed, and you're not going to get healed. Nothing is going to happen in your behalf. Don't let the devil discourage you. That's one of the devil's greatest weapons, discouragement. If he can discourage a person, if he can discourage an individual, he can succeed in preventing or hindering that individual from receiving that which they need and that which they desire so very much from the hand of God. So don't let the devil discourage you. Just keep on praying, and at the same time, be looking around to see if you can tell a change in your condition or in your situation, whatever it may be. And even if it's just a little change, even if it's not a very big change, be encouraged by that change and just begin to praise God and worship God and love God and magnify God and be assured that that thing is going to, which you've been praying about, is going to be manifested completely, and that that need is going to be met in your life. And in the book of 1 Timothy 2 and 8, the scripture saith, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. God wants everybody, everywhere, to pray, regardless of whether it's a person who works on a common job, a business person, a professional person, or the President of the United States. God wants every person everywhere to pray. And when we pray, the Bible declares that our heart should be void of wrath and void of doubting and filled with faith, believing in God's faithfulness, and filled with expectancy, reaching out unto the Lord. And as we come into this place and pray, and our hearts are filled with expectancy, we are reaching out unto God, the answer is going to be forthcoming. And in the book of Philippians 4 and 6, the scripture saith, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And I want to say right now, the Lord just spoke to me concerning a person here this morning who has a rupture condition. The Lord wants to heal you of this rupture. Reach out and take it by faith. You have a rupture condition, and God wants to heal that rupture in your physical body. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, sometimes a person might say, and you may have heard someone say before, I'm not going to ask God to heal me. God knows that I'm sick. If God wants to heal me, let him heal me. Or, I'm not going to ask God to give me that car payment or that house payment or meet that need in particular. God knows that I have that need. If God wants to help me, let God go ahead and help me. And they have a negative attitude. No reaching out. If God wants to do it, let God do it. But the Bible says that we are to bring our petitions and make our petitions known unto the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Let him know about it. Present it before him. Of course God knows everything. He is omniscient. He knows every thought about every individual, knows everything about every person upon the face of the whole earth. Yet God wants us to make our request known unto Him. He wants us to let our request be made known unto Him in prayer. And in the book of Colossians 4 and 2, the Scripture saith, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, prayer is not something which is just or only to be engaged in. It's not just something which a person is to be initially engaged in when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and become a Christian. Now, many people have begun their Christian walk with the Lord with much prayer. They have found prayer very refreshing, and many people have found prayer to be a tremendous power in their spiritual life when they first came to the Lord. And then somehow, something has seemed to happen to a lot of people as they have continued their Christian life, and they have kind of let up in prayer, and they no longer find prayer to be as inviting and is as refreshing and as enthralling as they did when they first became a Christian. And some people have seemingly come to a place in their spiritual life. They've seen God do great things. They've seen Him manifest His power. They've seen a lot of things happen. And it seems that some people just seem to come to the place where they feel that it is not necessary for them to pray as they have prayed in their past Christian life. But you know, we never reach a spiritual plateau in our Christian experience with God where we do not need to pray. There is no individual, regardless of how spiritual he or she may be and the wonderful things which he or she may have seen the Lord do, we never come to a place in our spiritual experience with God where we do not need to stay in the presence of God, to spend time in the presence of God, and to reach out unto God from the very depth of our innermost being. And in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, the Scripture saith, pray without ceasing. Not only are we to pray when we were in a wonderful camp meeting here at Lake Hamilton with Brother and Sister Miller and all the dear folks here. Not only are we to pray when we're in the house of God on Sunday or on prayer meeting night or when we kneel beside our bed at night or when there is some special need, but the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. There can be a constant, unceasing prayer ascending up out of the individual's heart at all times. When you're doing the housework, when you're on the job, when you're in the business establishment, when you're driving down the highway, wherever you may be, there can be a constant, unceasing prayer ascending up out of your heart unto the Lord. And as we pray unceasingly, then we should come into such a place with the Lord where the promises of God should become so real unto us that we should be able to grasp them with faith in such a way that those wonderful promises shall be fulfilled in our behalf. And in the book of Ephesians 6 and 18, the Scripture saith, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, the Bible tells us that we are to pray in the Spirit. There is real value in praying in the Spirit, and in contrast to just merely saying a formal prayer. When we pray in the Spirit of God takes our prayer directly unto God's throne of grace. The devil cannot intercept it. The devil cannot prevent it. And God sends the answer back from heaven. Now, as you remember, when Daniel prayed for 3 full weeks, there was seemingly no answer to his prayer. He hadn't seen any change. He could not determine that God was doing anything. He had not heard from God. And there was no evidence from a physical standpoint that God was doing anything in Daniel's behalf. But even though he could not determine that anything was happening, something was very definitely happening. And it was happening in his behalf, in answer to his prayer. And at the end of the 3 weeks, an angel came to Daniel and spoke to Daniel and told him that God had heard his prayer from the very first day that Daniel had set his face to seek the Lord. But he told Daniel that the prince of the kingdom of Persia, or in other words, a satanic angel, forces of evil, satanic power, had hindered this angel. And he said that Michael, the archangel, had come forth and fought against this wicked angel, this satanic power. And now this angel had come forth with the answer to Daniel's prayer. Now, sometimes the devil may seem like he's preventing or hindering the individual's prayer, but just stay in there. Just continue to pray. Something is happening in the spirit realm which the individual cannot always determine with his or her physical senses. You may have prayed. You may not have fully understood your situation. You may not have fully understood just what's happening concerning your condition. But there is a spiritual battle that is ensuing. The devil knows that if you are healed, if you receive a miracle from God, or if you have your need in particular met, he knows that that answer to prayer is going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. So he will attempt to hinder in any way that he possibly can. But as you pray in the Spirit, your prayer will go directly unto the throne of God's grace. Your petition will go unto God, and just stay in there, because the answer is going to be coming back from heaven, even though it may seem to be delayed at times. The answer is going to come. Don't give up. Continue to pray. Pray in the Spirit, and watch unto all supplication for all saints. And in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 26th and the 27th verse, the Scripture saith, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. For he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, we know some things which we need to pray about. We are very familiar with some of the needs that we need to pray about. But many times there are things which we do not know what we should pray about as we ought. We may not know that there may be an individual who has an evil disease, an incurable disease working in his or her body. And we may not have any knowledge of that. They may not have been to the doctor. But the Spirit of God knows, and he will intercede for that individual. He will intercede for their healing or their deliverance. The Spirit of God knows when a missionary on the foreign field may be in danger with his or her life. The Spirit of God will intercede. The Spirit of God will intercede for your loved one across the city, across the state, or across the nation, or in some other nation, whatever the case may be. So the Spirit helps our infirmities. And we should not only pray for those things which we know to pray about, but pray in the Spirit, and let the Spirit of God make intercession for us according to the will of God. And sometimes if a person doesn't know what the will of God is, if they do not know how they should pray, just pray the Word of God. Pray the Scriptures. You can take the Bible and just read Scriptures. Pray the Scriptures. And as you read the Scriptures in a prayerful attitude, just let that be your prayer before God. God, this is your word. You said this. I'm praying your word. Your word is your will. The word of God and the will of God go hand in hand. They're synonymous. If it's God's Word, it's God's will. And that way you'll be sure that you're praying in the Spirit of God. You'll be praying in the will of God. And you can be sure that God, in His faithfulness, is going to do that which He said that He would do. And in the book of Matthew 21 and 22, the Lord Jesus was speaking. And the Scripture saith, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now, the Lord Jesus did not limit our asking to salvation or to the baptism of the Holy Spirit or to anything in particular. But He said, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, that is if they're asking according to the will of God. And a person shouldn't be praying for anything against or contrary to the Word of God in the first place. If they're praying for something that is contrary to the Word of God, then they should not be praying that prayer anyway. The Word of God is the will of God, and if we pray the Word of God, we can be assured that we're praying the will of God. And in Mark 11 and 24, the Lord Jesus was speaking, and the Scripture saith, "Therefore, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." All things. That was Matthew 21 and 22. "Therefore, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." The desire of your heart. If it's a godly desire, if it's putting the kingdom of God first, if it's seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then He said that He would add all of these other things to you. And I think sometimes that people have kind of got the cart before the horse. They've sought after the materialistic things and kind of put God and the spiritual things of God in the background. And we're not to do that. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God. Desire the kingdom of God. Desire the spiritual things of God. Desire to do that which the Word of God instructs you to do." And then God in His faithfulness will add. God has an adding process. He adds to people as they seek Him and His kingdom. And in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, and the 7th through the 11th verse, the Lord Jesus was speaking, and the Scripture saith, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" And the Lord just spoke to me concerning a person here who has a tailbone condition, and the Lord wants to heal your tailbone. Why don't you just reach out with your faith and take hold of it now, because God wants to do it for you. He wants you to be healed of that tailbone condition. There's a person who has a problem with your right wrist. God wants to heal your right wrist. Just receive it now and just begin to move your wrist in a normal manner and let healing work in that right wrist. God is doing something concerning a tooth in somebody's mouth here this morning. God is doing something concerning a tooth in a person's mouth. Well, the Lord Jesus said that it's the will of God for us to ask, to seek, and to find, and to knock. But in our asking, our seeking, and our knocking, it is also the will of God that we should receive, that we should find, and that the treasure chest of God should be opened unto us. Now, if your son or your child should ask you for a piece of bread, you wouldn't give that child a stone, would you? If that child should ask you for a fish, you wouldn't give that child a serpent. And the Scripture says, "How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" So he's a good Father. He's a loving Father. He's a merciful Heavenly Father. There's nothing bad to be said about God. There's nothing bad to be said about the Lord Jesus. They are totally good. The Father's totally good. The Son is totally good. The Spirit of God is totally good. And God is causing His presence to be over His people, even here this morning, as a great umbrella. And God just wants to shower His wonderful blessings upon you, and His blessings just come right through the presence of the enemy, and His presence as a great umbrella, or just covering this entire congregation, is just here to drop down upon you that very thing in particular which you need or desire from the hand of God. Let's praise God for a few moments and tell Him that you love Him. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus in a personal way as your Savior this morning, just ask Him to forgive you for your sins and invite Him to come into your heart and life, and He will do that. Father, we praise You. We worship Your name. We give thanks unto God. We glorify the living God of heaven and earth. We thank You, Lord, for this campground. Thank You, Lord, for Brother and Sister Miller's dedication to You. Thank You for all of these dear people, for all those who have been to this camp meeting, all those who are here this morning. Thank You for what You've done and what You're going to do. Lord, just meet the need of every dear person that is here for the glory of God and the praise of God. And Lord, cause people to realize that they're not going away empty, but that they're going away having received from the bountiful hand of God. And we praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, as I mentioned, I called out different things. I wonder how many people happen to be one of those individuals. You had a wrist condition. What was your trouble? Right shoulder. Have you been able to tell a change? Definitely. All right. What about the wrist? You been able to tell a change? What was wrong with your wrist? Pinched nerve. And now you can move it good? Praise God. All right, what about the tailbone condition? Who was that? The lower part of your spine, tailbone condition. Yes, was it bothering you at the time? Why don't you come right up here? Let's see, an ankle condition. I believe I mentioned an ankle condition. Who was that? Gentleman here, suddenly left. Claim your miracle, sir. Claim your miracle. God wanted to do it for you this morning. Did you raise your hand? A rupture, umbilical, hernia for 21 years since her son was born. And have you determined to change in it? Just stand up. You said 29. And for those many years, he said that every time that he stood up, that this hernia would pop out. We prayed for him one night, and at the conclusion of the meeting, people were giving testimony. And he said that it no longer popped out. He could stand up, no longer popped out. Just put your hand on that ear, if you will, please. Dear Heavenly Father, by the power, by the authority of the eternal Word of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I rebuke this hernia. I thank You because it's the will of God for it to go completely, to leave and never to return. And I rebuke it. I take authority over it. I command this umbilical hernia condition to go completely, which has been there for 21 years. I charge it to leave by the power of the Word of God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I thank You for doing it, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank God. All right, put your hand.
What's that?
Hello?
39
years.
39 stripes.
Dear Heavenly Father, by the power of the Word of God, I thank You. I thank You for healing this hernia condition, which has been in this lady's body for 39 years. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yeah, something's happening right now. Command it to go in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to ask you whether you felt something happened or not. I know something happened. Amen. Praise God. Well, what about the tooth condition? Yes, ma'am. What did you raise your hand? I don't think I called out allergies, did I? A strangling? Kind of choking condition? Have you been able to tell a change? Well, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver this lady completely from this allergy condition, this strangulation, this choking. I rebuke it in Jesus Christ's omnipotent name. I command it to go from her and never to return again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. Who had the tooth condition and you've been able to tell a change already? Felt something in your mouth? Well, praise God. Yes, ma'am. More tooth there. A creative miracle transpiring where the tooth broke off about a week ago, and she has definitely been able to tell a change in this tooth. Well, praise God. That's wonderful. All right. Father God, I thank You for blessing these dear people. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we thank You for this camp meeting. Lord, it's been a wonderful time. My family and I have enjoyed being here with all the dear people, and we just praise You, Lord, and ask You, Lord, to keep every person that is here, every person who has attended this camp meeting this year, keep them safely and cause your many blessings to come upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.